This morning, I believe there are probably some things in life that we can do without. And rejection is one of them. I don't know about you, but being rejected in any way at all is difficult. Nobody likes to be rejected. It can make one feel unworthy or even useless. It can also produce loneliness and discouragement. And it can hinder us from trying again. You know, many times we get rejected and we just figure, what's the use? I'll just stop. I wish I could tell you that rejection is removed with salvation. That would be a wonderful message to preach. And I would enjoy telling everyone here that once you're saved, you'll never have to face rejection in this world again. But that's not the case. You know, rejection is part of life. And as believers, we must face it at different times. Maybe several times you're going to have to face rejection. The believer, I think, can find comfort knowing that God has not rejected them. God has a plan, and that's what we're going to see this morning. That the world or a person or a company maybe can reject you, but that does not mean God has rejected you. God, of course, will never leave us nor forsake us, and God has a plan. Today we're going to look at David, and I hope we'll learn from his example of being rejected. And we're going to have just two thoughts, consideration. I think David had to consider some things, and we have to consider some things too once we're rejected. But also control. We have to maintain control of our emotions and of our conduct once we have been rejected or if we are rejected. So this morning we're going to look at verses 9 through 16, primarily verses 10 through 16. Verse 9 was read this morning because we wanted to see the Saul's, I guess you say, approach towards David. Saul, the Bible tells us there that Saul eyed David that day and forward. In other words, he was after David. He kept an eye on him. And he looked for an opportunity, basically, to remove David. And as we'll see this morning, he was looking to remove David from this earth for a little bit. And then when he could not, he chose to remove David from the palace. Basically, David was rejected, is what we're going to see this morning. Now, rejection. We have to consider some things. And I want us to notice the incident first before we really get into this. The Bible tells us there on verse 10, it says, "It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and that he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand." Now, to get a good picture of this, we need to understand a few things. First, we need to understand that David, I believe at this time, David was probably not aware of the threat upon his life. I don't think David would have just walked on in without any thought. At this time, Saul is angered, Saul is upset, but it's basically just building within himself right now. And so we find David pretty much putting himself, not on purpose, but putting himself in a position where his life would be threatened. And so that's where we find. Now, as we go into this, keep in mind, these are two warriors. We're talking about two men, powerful men. One was a king of Israel, and one had already proven himself on the battlefield several times. So we're talking about two men that are about ready to have a clash, so to speak. Now David, the Bible tells us that he went in and he played music for Saul. This is what David had done previous times. And the Bible points that out. As it says there at the end of verse 10, he played with his hand as at other times. So what we find is David did nothing out of the ordinary. Tomorrow morning you may do nothing out of the ordinary. You're just going to go get up and go to work or go about your day. And then something may all of a sudden come up that you didn't expect. And that's what happened with David. He went in there like he had done numerous times. He had no reason to fear the king. There was no reason to doubt that King Saul was upset at him. But the Bible tells us that there was a problem within King Saul's heart. It says there, "And it came to pass," it says, "on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul." To get an understanding of this, let's go back to chapter 16. We didn't cover this in any of our messages, so I just want to point this out of when this first occurred with Saul. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and in verse 14, this is right after David was anointed, after Saul had been rejected by God as the king. It says, "But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." And then we know David was provided. But basically what the Bible tells us is that Saul had rebelled against God, had done his own thing, and the Bible tells us that the evil spirit came upon Saul. And what I do want to point out is the evil spirit did not arrive until the Spirit of the Lord left. You know, there was a... I don't believe Saul was a saved man, and I'm not going to get into that. That's another message for another day. But the Spirit left him. That he would no longer lead him, guide him, direct him as king, as the Lord's king. And so when the Spirit left, an evil spirit came along. You know, in this world today, there are evil spirits. We just need to understand that. But I believe if the Holy Spirit dwells within you, there's no room for an evil spirit. You're saved here this morning. There's no concern for that. Now, they may try to discourage and hurt and cause us to stumble, but they can't dwell within us. So that's the place of the Holy Spirit. Now, here we find that the evil spirit troubled Saul. And he relied upon music, basically, to ease or to provide some sort of comfort in his life. You know, there's a reason why music's so popular even today. I think many are turning to music. You know, music's powerful, without a doubt. Music's very powerful. Music can calm. Music can soothe. Music can provide some comfort. It can even do the other way around. Music can challenge us and get us motivated in certain times. Well, we find here that Saul used this music basically to find some peace in his life. But this time it didn't work. It says there, as David was playing with his hand at other times, there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now, I remind you that he was a warrior, so there's no reason for David to be alarmed that there's weapons around the throne. That's just the way that things were in those days. And the Bible said he had a javelin in his hand. It was probably next to him, and he grabbed hold of it. And the Bible says that he cast it at David or towards David. Now, I'm under the impression that God protected David, simply because I don't think King Saul would have missed. And I think that's what probably surprised Saul more than anything else. The Bible says he did it twice. So I imagine that's why he was afraid. Because I imagine Saul thought, I don't miss someone that close. Saul was a proven warrior himself. And for him to miss twice, I imagine he knew that David was protected by God. You know, keep this in mind this morning as we get into this, that God can protect us at any place, at any time. No matter where we are in this world, no matter where we go, no matter where He takes us, He can protect us. And you know, that's encouraging to know that our Lord has that power. Basically, David was protected. Now this morning, we find here, it says in verse 10, it says, he played his hands, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand, verse 11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it, and David avoided out of his presence twice. Now, he cast it, and if you'll notice, he tried to pin David to the wall. He wasn't just playing around. I imagine he got his arm back, and he was throwing a 95-mile-per-hour fastball as hard as he could to eliminate David. I believe David realized now that he was in trouble twice. Once, hey, you know, David, I missed. I was just goofing around. Twice, David probably recognized the danger. You know, what we find is David was rejected at this time by the king of Israel. And the king of Israel was his superior. And he was rejected. He wasn't just asked to change something. We're not talking about change. We're talking about complete rejection here. If someone's trying to take your life, then they don't want you around. That's just the truth of the matter. Well, David would leave the palace, is what would happen. We're not going to cover the next few chapters, but basically he would live on the run, and he would make his home in the wilderness. This is the next king of Israel, by the way. The man who was promised to ascend to the throne was now going to live on the run as a common criminal would. You know, it would be several years before David would return to the palace and would return as king. And until then, he would have to trust in the Lord. You know, what we find is that David's life took a drastic turn again. How many of you have that happen in life sometimes, where just all of a sudden, you take one drastic turn after another, next thing you know, you look and say, how'd I end up here? You see, that's what can happen as well. Now, in this case, it was because of rejection. And we're going to talk about that this morning, rejection. You know, we can only wonder what was going through David's mind, and I'm not going to try to speculate what was going through his mind, but I'm going to share with you some thoughts that I have concerning rejection and how we can handle it based upon this passage. First, when rejected, I think it's best to look upon yourself. Begin with yourself. You know, the natural reaction is to place the blame somewhere else. When we're rejected, I think the first thing that comes to mind is that's their fault. They did it. It's because of him, or it's because of her, or it's because of the situation, or it's because of this or that. I think it's good to begin with ourselves. You see, it may be true that it's due to someone else, but let's make sure first before we begin to place blame. You know, we live in a society that refuses to take responsibility. That's just the way I'll put it. Everyone wants to blame someone else. They want to blame their parents. They want to blame where they grew up. They want to blame their company. They want to blame someone who came before and messed it up for them. Everyone's trying to blame someone else for their problems. You know, you can place blame anywhere you like. But if the fault is with you, that problem is going to remain wherever you go. I mean, you can blame everyone, but if you go from one location to the other because of the problem, if it's there, it's going to remain, and you're going to have to deal with it eventually. So it's good to begin with self. Turn with me to Psalm 139, because we're going to see, I think, here in this passage, and this is written by David, how we can approach self concerning problems. Psalm 139, and we're going to begin or look at verses 23 and 24, and this is David's psalm. He says here, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We need to begin with an audit of ourselves. And here's where it begins. Now, don't do it based upon your own preferences or wants, because we can convince ourselves of anything, really. You know, we can convince ourselves we're right. I think it was in Jeremiah, he said, the heart is evil and wicked. You know, we can convince ourselves that or justify it and say, well, I did this. What we need to do is open up our heart to God. Get on our knees. Get alone. God, search me. Even after rejection, God, is it because of me? Did I do something I should not have done? Was I wrong? That's where it should begin. Was I incorrect in my conduct or in my words? And it should begin with basically an honest appeal to God, asking God to search our hearts. Now, understand this. If you ask God this, get ready for the answer. It may come back that, hey, you did nothing wrong. But it may come back that, hey, there's something wrong. You have some misplaced priorities, maybe. Or maybe you were expecting too much, or maybe you were looking to the world instead of it, whatever it may be. As you begin to, through prayer, reading God's Word, He may begin to show you some areas where the problem is. And if He does, you know what you should do? 1 John 1:9, confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whenever we find a fault, or if God should show us a fault through prayer or reading or just impress upon our heart that we've made a mistake, then you know what we need to do? We need to confess our sin. Seek His forgiveness, because He'll forgive, and then move on. You know, in David's case, the rejection was not due to a fault within him. And there's going to be times where you're going to search yourself. Now, we began with searching ourselves, asking God to search us. And you know, it may come back that, hey, you did nothing wrong. You were rejected, not because of who you are or what you've done, but you just were rejected. Now, here's the second thing to look at. When rejected, look upon the situation. Here's a second consideration. First, consider yourself. And then second, consider the situation. You know, there can be numerous reasons why rejection occurs. It's not always because someone's out after us. We'll see here in a minute that was the case with David, and that may be the case in your life at times, but it's not always the case. Sometimes we're just disqualified from service. You know, like it or not, we're not qualified to do whatever we like or whatever we please. Think about this. At times, we may not possess the skills that are required, and that may be why we were rejected. If that's the case, then what we need to do is either understand that those skills are beyond my ability, or there's a way that I can achieve those skills or attain those skills, and with God's grace, then I'm going to. So that way I can move forward. I'm going to illustrate this. I think the best way to get this point across, and hopefully it'll help us to really understand that, is with two illustrations. Here's the first one. And I want to illustrate some skills beyond our abilities. Now, this is going to be an extreme illustration, but I hope it gets the point across. Let's say I announce to the church next week that I'm going to go try out for the St. Louis Cardinals. I already see some laughs, so you see how extreme this is. I say, you know what, I have a friend, he's got to try out for me, and guess what, I'm going to be a pitcher. I'm going to go try out. And then I return the following week back, which you probably expect me to be back. And I come back and say, guess what? I just didn't make it. Now, if anyone's curious, I can't throw 95 miles per hour, just in case you're curious. And so I return and say, guess what? You know, they were nice, but they, I just didn't make the team. Should I blame the St. Louis Cardinals? They did nothing wrong. Should I blame or should I be discouraged? No, I really shouldn't be discouraged. You know what? I should be content with where I'm at in life, how the Lord has made me, and with the abilities that He has given. Now, I don't say this to discourage anyone from setting high goals. I think we should make some high goals in life. We should strive to serve the Lord, and we should do the best we possibly can. But this is said to encourage you if you should fall short. If there should ever come a time, we're talking about rejection. If there should ever come a time in your life where you look and say, hey, I just don't have the skills for that. God hasn't given me those abilities. Not everyone has the same talents or abilities. And there may come a time where that occurs. Now, if God has not given you those skills, you know what that means? He has something else for you. That's what that means. God didn't want David in the palace at this time. God wanted David out in the fields with his men. You see, God has a plan, and we just need to be content with God's leading and God's direction. So, what rejection can do, it can open our eyes to reality. By the way, I'm not dreaming about trying out for the St. Louis Cardinals, but if I were dreaming every day about going up and trying out, what would happen is after I would reject it, I'd be like, well, they're right. Reality would set in, and then I would move forward. Here's the second illustration. You know, missionaries often will surrender to go to a mission field where the people speak a foreign language. And often the missionary and his family will not know that language. Well, that doesn't mean the missionary has to say, well, God called me to a place that I can't work, I'll just stay here. No. Today there are language schools. And in some cases, if the language is not taught in a language school, a person can go to that country and over a period of time can learn the language. Find someone there that can teach him and be around the people. You see, that's a skill that can be attained, where a missionary can work and go, and then next thing you know, within a few years, we've had missionaries do this, some that we support, they come back and they return and all of a sudden they're fluent in that language. Before they left, they knew nothing of that language. They return and we find out they're preaching and teaching and leading people to the Lord and guiding a church in that language. See, that's a skill that they had attained. Basically, they buckled down and they worked. And they trusted that that was the direction God was taking them, and by God's grace, they were blessed. But even then, the Lord may not open up a door. David Livingstone was a missionary to Africa. We talk a lot about him. Going into Africa, reaching many people and seeing many souls saved. A lot of people forget that David Livingstone had a heart, a great desire to go to China when he was a young man. And he had planned and prepared himself to go to China. He was ready. He had everything he needed. But then the Boxer Rebellion broke out. They shut the doors. Nobody was allowed in. He was distraught, discouraged. Well, God opened up the doors. He went to Africa and he spent the rest of his life there serving the Lord. You see, the Lord can allow rejection into our life to take us a different direction. And that's what we find here with David, I think. Rejection can challenge us to work for something and to go a new direction. And that's what happened with David. So in David's case, he was qualified to remain in the palace. He was called to be the next king. He did nothing wrong, yet Saul basically rejected him anyway. Here's the third thought, or the third consideration. When you're rejected, take a look at the big picture. You know what often happens? We get rejected, and what happens? We just think about that rejection. And we stew on it for a week or two, and we just think, wow, how could I not get that position? How can someone do that to me or say that? That's just not fair. That's not correct. And then we focus just on that rejection. David was rejected, but David was also given a promise from God. You remember that promise? He would be the king of Israel. Now, God's promises will be fulfilled, every single one of them. If God said something, it'll come to pass. I'm thankful for that. How about those verses on salvation? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not because of who we are, what we can do, but because God has determined it. God has sent His Son, and if you put your faith in Him, then you will be saved, and God's word will come to pass. Well, God's word concerning David would also come to pass. Yes, he was rejected, but in time he would be blessed because the Lord remained with him. And that's what David needed to remember. You know, this morning, you may have been rejected at some point in your life. Maybe someone is dealing with that right now. But I can tell you, you're not rejected by God. You know, in Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you belong to God, he's not going to set you aside, he's not going to lose you, he's not going to forget you, he's not going to reject you. And so if a rejection has come into your life, keep the big picture in mind that God has a plan for your life, and there's a purpose for that rejection. There's a reason, whether it's to take you a different direction, or whether it's to protect you for something. Something that was there that you didn't foresee, but God knew was waiting, and so God wanted to protect you from that problem. Don't become discouraged I guess is the key thing. Don't become discouraged. You know, that's one thing we don't read of David. Now, I know in his Psalms, we've read many of his Psalms, he was discouraged. But we don't read of him becoming discouraged to the point where he just quit. David, the Bible tells us, continued on. You know, we're going to fail and struggle at times. But that does not mean that our failures, I guess, determine who we are. We're not a failure just because we fail. Just because you don't succeed once doesn't mean you'll never succeed. To put this in perspective, I'm going to read a quote by Mickey Mantle. Those that enjoy baseball may know who he is. Some here may have even seen him play. He played in the 50s and 60s. He had a career of 18 years for the New York Yankees. And he was a Hall of Fame baseball player. Well, in 1970, he said this quote I think is interesting. He says, "During my 18 years as a baseball player, I came to bat almost 10,000 times. He said, I struck out about 1,700 times and walked maybe 1,800 times. He says, you figure a ball player will average about 500 at-bats a season. That means I played 7 years without even getting a hit." Think about that. Perspective. Now, the big picture, we think he's a Hall of Fame ball player. Could you imagine? 7 years? When you think of him, you don't think of, when you think of any Hall of Fame ball player, you don't think 7 years without getting a hit. But you see, the big picture. Really, when you think of the big picture, we see him as a Hall of Fame ball player. Those that like sports see him as a Hall of Fame ball player. How about the big picture in our life? One rejection does not determine who you are. One rejection should not end your service to God or just make you go completely distraught. Keep moving. The big picture is, by the time we get to heaven, we may look back and we may see a whole life filled with different rejections at different points in time, but we also may see God's hand working along those ways to exalt us here, lead us here, provide for us here, prepare us here, and then in the end, there we are with God. So don't become discouraged with rejection. The big picture for the believer is that we know God is in control. So you may face rejection today, but that does not mean that you're going to face it tomorrow. Doesn't mean it's going to happen again next week. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be good days and there's going to be some bad days. There are going to be times where you can do no wrong and there's going to be times where everything will seem to fall apart. But just remain faithful to the Lord just like David was. And that leads us to our second thought, control. Control. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 18. And this is where we're going to really see the passage. Verse 11, it says, "And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. David avoided out of his presence twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed from him, made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people." And it says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways." Revenge is what I want to talk about first. Revenge. I'll get them. Just wait. We don't find that with David. We don't find that in this passage. We don't seek him, or we don't find him seeking to pay Saul back for this, or trying to injure Saul in some way. Now, revenge is when we look to harm someone that has offended us. And sometimes we may not display vengeance. You know, it may not be seen in our conduct, but you know, if we're not careful, we can have a vengeful heart. Inside, we can say, well, I hope they stumble. We may not try to cause them to stumble, but inside, we can say, I hope they stumble. I hope they fail. I hope they falter in life. Or when they do not succeed, maybe they do stumble. Sometimes we can laugh within. You know, we can all be guilty of this. We can laugh within and we can think they deserve that. That's right here in the heart. Vengeance within the heart. That's not good. That's wrong, actually. You know, the Bible tells us that David basically was able to move forward. Here's what I want you to notice. David didn't go back to his room and grab a slingshot. He didn't go back and or go out and pick out 5 stones like he did with Goliath and go hunt Saul down. Why? Because this was a different battle. You know, at this point, I think Saul was more of a threat than Goliath ever was to David. Goliath never even mounted an attack. Yet Saul had thrown the javelin at David twice. We don't find David fighting or going after Saul. You know, this morning, every fight, every trial is different, and it can't be handled the same way. That's why we need to walk with God and trust in the Lord. Not take things personally. Not seek to pay someone back. Trust that the Lord will work in our favor and that God will bless us. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. This is a good proverb here, a good passage concerning waiting on God and walking with the Lord. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5 it says there, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Now think about that. You know, I know that's a verse that many memorize, we quote, but do we really apply that verse? Let's read this again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Not with this sometimes, when things are going good, but how about when things are going bad, when we're rejected? Do we still trust in the Lord, put our faith in Him? Or do we begin to scheme and plan and say, I'm going to figure this out myself. I'm going to get this person back. I'm going to go after him. And then it says there, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him every way, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, God is able to direct our paths. He's able to guide us through the most difficult trial, through the most difficult trouble. After rejection, He's able there to pick up the pieces and provide blessings that we may not have seen. Let's not resort to revenge. Also, there's no indication that David ran out and told everyone what happened. Some would do that. I'm going to go destroy Saul's reputation. Run around and tell everyone what happened, how mean he's been to me. We don't find that. You know what we don't find? David did nothing to dishonor the king. Also, he didn't do anything to disrupt the nation. Now I can tell you this, he wasn't a coward. We're talking about a brave man. Very brave man. Why would he, I guess, not turn to this? I believe it's because he had faith in the Lord. You know, several of David's Psalms refer to this. I'm just going to read a few of them. Psalm 18 verse 2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." And then in Psalm 37 verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." You know, I think David trusted God in the matter. What would have happened had he just ran off, grabbed his slingshot, and paid Saul back? Now, some may have said, well, he was justified. Self-defense. Saul was trying to kill him. What do you think that would have done for his chances of becoming king in the nation? Probably would have put him down to zero. They didn't want a king who was irrational, went out and just kind of paid his own, did his own thing and paid people back. What we find is David waited upon the Lord. And that's what we must do when we're rejected as well. You know, there's no use of going and trying to pay someone back. You may come to find out that you go and pay someone back, and guess what? You made the mistake. I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times where I've taken something out of context. Someone says something to me, and I heard it in the wrong way. Come to find out, I was the one who heard it wrong. They said nothing wrong. I heard it wrong. You know, if we're not careful, we can go pay people back and end up finding out that they didn't deserve it to begin with. We just went around paying people back and getting ourselves into more trouble. You see, the Lord will always do what is correct. That's why it tells us in Romans 12, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." So the Lord will take care of basically our problems. When rejected, don't turn to revenge. Instead, trust the Lord. Also, when rejected, don't turn to resignation. What I mean by that is sometimes we can be rejected and just give up. We get discouraged and we just quit and say it's not even worth it. Now David was removed from the palace. Make no doubt about it. Psalm 18 tells us. 1 Samuel 18 tells us there. In verse 13, "Therefore Saul removed him from him, made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people." So he was moved out of the palace. He was no longer part of the inner circle. He was no longer part of Saul's confidants, no longer part of his generals or his leaders within the palace. I guess you could say really it was a demotion for David. He was no longer there. He had to go out and go to his captains as far as the world may look. So David was sent out to lead soldiers in solitude, basically. He did nothing to deserve this. You know, sometimes we can be in the wrong place at the wrong time and get ourselves in trouble. David did not do that. He was where he was supposed to be and found himself rejected. This is when I think it can be tempting to become careless in living. What I mean by that is when we don't get our way, we can just say, well, whatever. I don't care. And we can resign ourselves from our responsibilities to God. And there are believers that have done that. There are believers this morning, probably sitting at home, because they were rejected or they got discouraged and they just resigned themselves to whatever. I don't care. And they're no longer actively serving the Lord. Now, if they're saved, they're saved. It hasn't changed that. It's just they're going to be miserable in life. because they're no longer walking with God. You know what it can lead to? Two thoughts. First, a rebellious attitude. Since I don't get what I want, I'm going to do whatever I please. Rebel against authority. Rebel against what God has put in place. I'm just going to do whatever I want. You know, this morning, this is where we must look to God. Instead of, you know, Proverbs 3, lean not unto our own understanding. Instead of leaning on our own understanding, we need to look to God and trust Him in the matter. Remember, God has a plan. Also, this is when we must continue to live for God. Live for His glory. What's it, 1 Corinthians 10:31? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, you search that chapter and you search that passage, there are no, I guess you say, anything in there that says you have to do it when it's good, but when it's bad, guess what? You don't have to follow this verse. No, it's there all the time. We always live for God's glory, whether things are good or bad. Whether you've been rejected or accepted in life, you always live for God's glory, or at least that's what we should. And David did this. The Bible tells us he went out and behaved himself wisely. In other words, his conduct was correct. His testimony was good. He did what was right before God and in the eyes of the people. Here's the second one, a complacent attitude. A rebellious attitude and then a complacent attitude. This is the one that says, whatever happens, I don't care. I don't know what David was tempted to do, but we do know this. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He didn't have a big, selfish, little pity party, so to speak. He continued on. Oh yes, it was difficult. He probably didn't want this, but this is the direction that God allowed his life to take. And he continued with the Lord, and you know what he found or what he discovered? And we know this now, looking back at the big picture. I imagine David didn't know it at the time. But we can look back at David's life and we can see this. You know what David found as he went out? He found that God was preparing him to be the king of Israel. Because when he went out, he gained valuable experience. The Bible tells us he was made a captain. Eventually, someday he'd have to lead the entire army. Someday he'd have to lead the entire nation. God allowed him in this rejection to go out and get some experience that would be required later in his life. You see, David became captain, and instead of remaining in the palace where he was playing music, relaxing, helping out King Saul, he went out and he lived amongst the soldiers. And the Bible tells us he became their beloved leader, is what he did. You see, this morning when you're rejected, you quit, then you may be missing the blessings that God has for you. And that's what happened here with David. He was being prepared, groomed to be the next king. Also, it says that he went out amongst the people. And there he lived a good life, a wise life. He behaved himself wisely. He had a good testimony amongst the people. And he continued to serve the Lord. You see what he did? He maintained his testimony. When we're rejected, it's easy to lose our testimony. With our words, with our emails, you know, written words, with our conduct, with our attitude, it's easy to lose our testimony. You know, the world often looks on when Christians are having difficult times. I believe that often people will look upon a believer when it's difficult just to see how you react. And you know what? Sometimes they may see a lack of faith. You know, it's easy to talk about having faith and living for God when you're getting the blessings and you're getting the promotions and everything is going good and you're climbing the ladder in life and everyone's saying, oh, everything's wonderful. But when things begin to go wrong and you may get rejected or not get the things that you desired or wanted, and the world continues to watch, that's when your testimony, I think, can be the brightest. Because that's when they can look and see, you know what, they do love God. Their faith is in God. They haven't quit. Their God is real to them. It's not just Sunday morning religion. It's their life. Also, they can see, you know, the world can see a hypocrite just as quick as anyone else. And when we praise God and we glorify God when everything's well, but then when rejection comes and we say nothing about God, or if we get upset at God and think it's His fault, the world can see that. They can recognize hypocrisy as quick as anyone else. And that testimony can be hindered. You know, this morning it's easy to trust the Lord when all is well. But to trust Him when troubles abound, that's a great testimony. And that's what David had. His testimony was before the people. Went out there, continued to behave himself wisely. He lived correctly and the people recognized this and they admired him. You know, we find that God was not only preparing David to be king, but God was preparing the people to look upon him as their king. That was part of the rejection. God had a plan for David and was taking him down this path. You know, rejection is difficult to take. But please, As your pastor, I plead with you, don't quit because of it. Don't quit because you've been rejected maybe in business, in your career. Maybe you've been rejected within your family. Or maybe a rejection that has come, because maybe even in prayer, you've been asking for something. You just, God has not given it to you or allowed you to have it. Don't quit because of that. Trust in the Lord. Allow Him to work in your life. I'd like to share with you an illustration. A man by the name of Eric Weinmeier, I think I got it correct. He accomplished, in 2001, he accomplished something that only about 150 people do each year. He reached the top of Mount Everest. I never have done that. I don't know if anyone else here has. He went to the top of Mount Everest. But what made his achievement unusual is that he's the first blind person to do it. Happened in 2001. He was born with a disease called retinoschisis. I may have mispronounced that too. Did the best I could. And by the time he was 13, he was completely blind. Completely. But instead, in his book, he has a book called Touch the Top of the World, A Blind Man's Journey to Climb Farther Than the Eye Can See. In his book, he said, instead of focusing on what he could not do, he made the choice to focus on what he could do. And he went much further than many that can see have gone. And you think about that. Rejection. He had a difficulty in his life, but he did not allow that difficulty to prevent him from continuing on. This morning, it would be nice. It would be nice if following the Lord meant there would be no rejection in life. That was it, because I think everyone would want to sign up to be a Christian, even if they didn't want to love the Lord or not. It would be nice, but it's not the case. The reality is that we might have to face rejection as we live for God, and maybe multiple times, whether it's in life in general or as we serve the Lord. This morning, don't dwell on rejection. Don't allow it to convince you to quit. Continue moving forward and trust in the Lord. You know, rejection is not the end. And it may be the beginning of something great. Think of David. For him, it was another step closer to being king of Israel. For David, it was a time of preparation to receive the experience that was needed to be the leader that God wanted him to be. It was a difficult step, but one that David needed to take. Also, in closing, I want to remind you of this. It's good to remember that Jesus Christ was rejected and placed upon the cross where he died. Now, we all know, without the atonement for sin, we would have no hope. You see, that rejection led to salvation, you know, I guess you say, so to speak. I know he laid down his life, but being rejected, being tormented, being suffered, put on the cross, dying for our sin, and then coming out of that grave 3 days later, is why we have hope now. You see, this morning, rejection may not be so bad after all. Hang in there. God was rejected for our sakes. And so if God would call upon us to be rejected as we live for Him, then let's be content with that. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day that You've given to us. Thank You for the blessings that You've provided. I pray as we have this time of invitation that You'll guide and direct. And if there's anyone here, something that they need to take to You, I pray that they settle that and seek You in prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. You know, this morning, as we began this invitation and the piano begins to play, I want to just ask you a few questions. You know, this wasn't what some would call a typical salvation message, but I do want to share this with you. In this world, we will find rejection. But with God, there's acceptance. You see, with Jesus Christ, there's forgiveness. There's a pardon. And if there's someone here this morning that is, maybe the Lord has impressed upon your heart here this morning the need to be saved, I'm not talking about being religious, but being right with God. I can tell you this confidently from the Bible, that if you seek Jesus Christ, seek His forgiveness and His salvation, you're not going to be rejected. He's not going to turn you away. But He'll accept you and forgive you of your sin. This morning, if there's anyone here that has questions concerning salvation, or maybe you know what you need to do, I encourage you to seek God's forgiveness, repent of your sins, and trust in Christ as your Savior. You can come down to these altars, you can pray. If you have questions, someone from the church can show you from God's Word what salvation is. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved. I hope everyone here is saved. Maybe you've just been dealing with this issue. Maybe it's this week. Maybe it's over the past year or so, and you've been struggling because you've been rejected maybe in certain areas of your life. And this morning you just want to give it to God. Trust Him. Find your strength in Him and just continue to follow after the Lord. If that's the case, I encourage you to seek Him in prayer at this time.